Do you have a report that was prepared by Bob Hellison, Jeff Youngman, and Marty Dirks? But Tim Price, I will let you start, and then you roll it out
this,
how
this
you
is
want.
Bob's show. This is
okay. All right.
I'm up here for discussion. We'll let Bob present.
Yes, to start with our stuff, and he gave the floor to you. So Bob, you have it. Undivided okay. attention.
This is our quarterly investment report, and we focus on what the returns were for the quarter for all the different pieces of the investment portfolio, and we tend to focus on managers who are having problems to an extent, and make or buy, or excuse me, keep. Do we want to keep them? Do we want to put them on some sort of an enhanced watch list? Those that are already on a watch list, what do we want to do about them? So that's the purpose of the report. I'm going to have Jeff start out, and then I'm going to, when we get to the watch list part, we're both going to talk about it.
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
The first page of the report is just the market overview for the first quarter, and we'll have some follow-up index numbers to bring you through performance of the major indices from yesterday. But equities had a stellar first quarter. Better than expected corporate earnings in the United States, and a little bit more optimism are driving a lot of returns there. The S&P 500 for the first quarter returned 10.6%. So that's, you know, a great return for a first quarter, nothing you'd expect to be repeated quarter after quarter after quarter, but we'll take it. Mm-hmm. I think the quantitative easing is still propping up a lot of that, so I think there's some discussion that says, well, the markets are doing well, the economy is still a little bit struggling, so we may be actually at a decoupling point here where the markets and the economy are not moving in the same direction. On international markets, emerging markets did not do as well as developed markets. So the ACWI XUS index, which is what most of the, both the international equity managers in the Contra Costa portfolio are benchmarked against, returned 3.2% versus the developed markets EAFE index, which returned 5.2%. Emerging markets were hurt because of weak commodity prices and mixed economic data. Emerging markets are still expected to be the main driver of growth in equity markets going forward, though. So this was something of a misstep for them.
But they were down 1.6% in the quarter.
Fixed income is still pretty slow moving. You know, there's still the Fed buying long-term treasuries at about $85 billion per month, so it's a huge support there. That's keeping a lot of prices pretty low, and yields are declining as well.
Can I ask you a question? With Treasury?
Could treasury?
It go yeah.
Yeah, zero?
Zero? Could it go negative?
Can't go negative in an absolute sense. In a real sense, it can go negative, and that the Treasury will return less than inflation. And we're actually at that
we're
point.
At that point.
Not right now.
At that point. Okay.
So, year-to-date numbers for the major indices: the S&P 500 is up 18% through yesterday for the year. For you know the first almost.
Pardon me. 18%.
18%. So it added an additional 8% or so, about 8%, 7.5% since the first quarter, since the end of the first quarter.
Makes us nervous.
Yeah.
The economy is not roaring.
The ACWI XUS index is year-to-date up 8.7, so the U.S. is doing much better on a stock market sense. And the Barclays aggregate is effectively flat. It's down 4 basis points for the year-to-date period.
So being relatively high in stocks helps very much in this recent period.
At what risk?
Equity risk.
Should we run now?
Well, you've got equity risk in your stocks, and you've got inflation risk in your bonds. So pick your poison.
So we're balanced, is what you're saying?
You're well balanced.
We're doing either way.
And through the end of the first quarter, you funded your inflation hedging, your public inflation hedging investments. So that's a bonus.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe we should have bought a Powerball ticket. I don't know.
I did that last weekend and it didn't work out for me. I'm down $2.
Your total fund in the quarter was up 5.2%, which was above the median, and your relative performance against other funds over long periods of time has been very good. So when we focus on problems, where overall it's been a very successful program. Not everybody, you've got a lot of managers, and not all of them look good at the same time, but a lot of them look pretty good, as we'll get to later.
So we may look good at Coons Report again this year in September?
Hard to say.
Or November?
Well, we were 12th in the rolling 10 years on equities.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Yeah, you'd like to think that.
But it's still too early.
Predicting the future is a little difficult.
Okay.
But that'll be through June, won't it? So,
yeah. Yes. Well, that's close then, huh?
You're getting close.
We may be there. Good, Bob.
do we do a stress test on what if, you know, say, for example, the market were to do an unexpected turn, what would our losses be at worst case, given the allocation?
It depends on if you were to go down enough to unravel the gains of the year, you're going to lose a lot of money. If you just take a look at what your allocation is and try to put a loss percentage on each of the pieces, you know that's what's going to happen to you. Best assumption is your stocks are going to perform like the stock market, and your bonds are going to perform like the bond market. We could talk about what we might do about that.
And Rusty, that's probably more of an internal function. I know I've talked with Deborah about this over the past year, and I've talked with a number of trustees about putting some more formalized risk software in place. Short answer, the hunt continues for the right software system. We do informal conversations, primarily centered around what our liquidity profile looks like. I'm less concerned about a drop in the stock market than I am concerned about what does that do to our illiquid exposure. Do we have enough to fund everything? And we're very comfortably funded, even with a repeat of 2008. But the exact quantification of that, I'm going to leave that until we have something a little bit more formal in place. The conversations have started now internally. The formalization is not there yet.
Tim, do we have the ability to pull back from investment commitments that we've made that we haven't yet funded if, for any reason, we really hit a liquidity issue that...
Within the private equity funds and real estate funds, we do not have those provisions. That's something we can look at as we move to more customized strategies down the road. But when we commit to a Adam Street fund or a Pathway fund or a DLJ real estate fund, we're pretty much locked into those. If we don't meet our commitments, there's pretty serious ramifications, negative ramifications.
And you are predominantly in publicly traded instruments.
Which are saleable daily.
On the equity side and bond side, and you can sell them.
Yeah.
So you're never going to have what happened to some of the endowments in 2008, 2009, where they had the need for cash and they couldn't find it anywhere, and they had to liquidate things very expensively.
So even with a 20% decline, there really isn't, that's really I think what Rusty is going towards as well, there really isn't a circumstance where we couldn't meet our retirement payment obligations and our funding commitments.
You can always sell stocks and bonds.
Yeah.
If you look at our illiquid exposure today, we're at 12 to 15% nominal exposure. Plus another 50 to 75% commitment above that. So call it 25% of our overall fund could be potentially called into illiquid investments. So we got 75% in liquid investments. You cut that in half and we're still okay.
Not going to be a problem.
Yeah. Look at PIMCO. Wow, they did it again. 10.9%. Wow.
We'll talk about your asset allocation on page 13. you can see that your actual and your current target are very close. You're pretty much right on. You do have a long-term commitment to long bonds and an additional 4% to alternative investments, which eventually is going to be something that's going to happen. The long bonds at current interest rates are not terribly appealing, so it's kind of a tactical decision to not do a long. I'm on 12 and 13. Not something you want to do right now. So hold off on that.
When we were at the conference, I had a conversation with Tim, and I was saying that in the last past years, we have actually hired some managers that actually offset some of the issues that some of our managers have. They're sort of risk management, a risk balance. We might hire an equity manager that we know will perform better in an up market, whereas others perform better in a market that is falling. So I thought it might be good for them, because we have new members, to actually at some point in the future maybe to highlight that in the report so people could see the balance of these managers, the ones that we have expectations for them in certain economic environments, so we don't judge them the same way, because it's your immediate knee reaction. You know what I mean? I do it too, and I was here when we hired some of these folks. So I thought maybe that'd be something to educate the board about again and mm-hmm. remind ourselves that we have to keep reminding ourselves what the job of these managers are when we evaluate them, on what basis we're evaluating them. Mm-hmm. So we evaluate them. Evaluate them, yes. And if they're not performing, get rid of them. But if they are doing what we hired them to do, then we got to reward them, right?
If you go to page 14 and those sections, what this does is it's a table, so it's not quite as hard to read as a graph, but it tells you what you've done over time. Mm-hmm. And you can see, and the 3 month and the quarter to date column are the same, because it's through March 31st, or year to date rather. And you can see that your total fund was in the top half, not way at the top of the top half, but did better than, in the 46th percentile, did better than 54% of the funds out there in the public defined benefit universe of all the plans that are in here. And so that's pretty good. But if you go back over 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5, 7, and 10 years, you can see that, knock on wood, your performance has been, on a relative basis, very, very strong.
So when I look at the top line where it says ending March 31st, 2013, and I look at that rolling 10 years, going back 10 years, the first quarter going back 10 years, our CPI plus 400 basis points as our minimum benchmark, right, I would have earned 6.5% had we just done that. But we actually earned 9.3% on the average over that 10-year number.
That's
so
right.
So our real return, I mean, that's what we ended up at, is 9.3%.
That's a nominal return, not...
Annual average.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to clarify, because I've kind of had some different discussion about this number, so I want to hear it from you specifically. The 9.3% is what our fund earned cumulatively over this period, not an average of what each of these funds earned, right? It's what we actually
That's
earned.
What your fund earned.
Okay.
The caveats would be there's a few of the investments that we report with a quarter lag, so it's the numbers don't quite match.
Close enough,
but
over 10 years,
it's
though.
Close enough, yeah.
But for example, if you were looking at this book closing, I think it was 2011, that 10-year rolling going back, because it still captured some of the losses of the tech bubble along with what happened in 07, 08. I think the average of that 10-year was 6.1, if I remember. I mean, it was like a shivering moment, you know?
So yeah, these numbers change depending on the quarter that drops off and the quarter you pick up. And you had a very good quarter, and you probably dropped off part of the tech disaster.
And we've just paid the end of the you know, we've come through the 08 one even at the close of this year. So that's probably more consistent with the normal time.
9.3.
If you ever say again, there's a normal time.
What is normal?
Right. Right. Okay.
The new normal on the global scale.
So your domestic equity has been about average lately, much better than average through 3-4 years, better than average over 5 years. You had a couple of problems 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago that pulled it below the median for that period. And then we go into the individual managers that you have. And Ceradex has not been around all that long, 40th percentile, 39th over the one-year period. Delaware, pretty good performance, rolling back all the, these are all cumulative, so they all take in, they all change a lot depending on what the most recent quarter is. It was a very good quarter, and your Delaware performance has been quite good. Emerald also. Intech has done pretty well, except if you go back the full 5 years and below, slightly below the median there. That's a very quantitative strategy. PIMCO Stocks Plus, if you go back 4 or 5 years, it's been, this is a strategy, just to review, that's, that invests in bonds and then uses stock futures to make the alpha on the bonds take be part of the stock portfolio. So it's included with stocks because it moves mostly like stocks, but the added benefit or detriment comes from actual bond investments. So it's a little different. The and PIMCO had some difficulty some years back, but has been a star over the past year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Robeco Boston Partners, again, you're just looking at a lot of managers who've been very successful in the value space, typical value manager, a little bit on the core side, so they're not deep value, done quite well. WHV is one that is on your watch list for personnel, and we're going to suggest today, the watch list is back a few pages, that WHV be placed on the watch list also for performance.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. The long-term numbers in due large part to the recent terrible performance don't look so good at the moment. And you're also pretty much holding that product up, because there's not a lot of money in other separate accounts that in this product. They have some balanced money that goes in here. We went over and visited with the new manager, and he was talking about growing products and sinking products, and this one, I'm not using the exact words that he used, but you didn't get this impression that this was where the company was going.
Yeah, Bob, so. I'm a traditionalist. You know, I love Wentworth Hauser, mainly because long term, when the market's down, they seem to hold us up a little bit. But I'm starting to get frustrated, and I agree with what you're saying, and I think we need to add performance, and I don't think we give them too much more time. That's where I am. As much as I love them and we've been with them for as long as we have, I think probably one of the longest investments we've had in equities, huh?
And going back to the George B. Springman,
I can feel a little bit more strongly about that, and maybe even considering a move. I don't sense that there is a commitment on the part of this firm to that product, and I think what you've done is reinforce that. I'm hearing the words, and I appreciate you saying that we're kind of holding up that product, and to put them on watch for some of the additional things suggests another quarter that we'll be just kind of mushing along. And in the meantime, we've got the ability, better in this particular allocation area, to reallocate those dollars than we do in some of the others. And I would actually consider maybe cutting to the chase on Wentworth.
I would support what Jerry's saying.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, keep that thought, because we're going to hit another manager that you
may yeah,
have
here's one.
I feel even more strongly about the next one, so stand by.
How many people do you want to replace at one meeting? That would be
well, this one, I...
Many as is necessary.
Well, that's true. And also, the big difference I see in the two of these, number one, GMO, I know you're going to get to that. Their performance is...
It's actually next on the table.
Underwhelming is the word that comes to mind over and over again.
Let's let Bob go there.
But at least we have the ability, still talking about Wentworth, that doesn't necessitate another search, in my opinion.
It absolutely does not.
So that's a different way of looking at that one. I see the GMO thing different.
Okay. Right. Well, moving along to GMO.
Okay. Speaking of GMO.
Yeah. If you go back to the page 54, 55. I first want to state that the chart, you may recall that GMO changed benchmarks. It went from an EFA, which is a developed markets product, international product, non-US, to a ACWI benchmark, ACWI ex-US, which includes developed and developing markets. So we changed the benchmark, which means that the chart up at the top really doesn't work. We could have, but if you do look at the table below the chart, you can see that the blended benchmark, which is a legitimate comparison, was up 1.9 in the quarter. GMO was up 0.2%. Over the 1 year, the blended benchmark was up 8.2, and the GMO was up 5.4. If you go back 3 years, GMO actually exceeded its blended benchmark. Over 5 years, it's about a wash. It's certainly not it's not terrible versus its benchmark over the long period, but it's probably not what you're paying good money for.
What kind of fees are we paying them?
What is it?
I think it's
60. 60 something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
We have $304 million with them, but it's 5.1 of the fund?
Yes.
I want to personalize that. I mean, Jeremy Grantham clearly has a reputation, and yeah. One that I guess a good reputation, one's well deserved.
And Ben Anker is picking one up, too. So.
Yeah,
he's
so.
Almost equally as gloomy.
Yeah. So, but, you know, this product, again, this particular approach doesn't seem to be doing the job. And to me, this is dead money. And I think we ought to make the move on this one, too.
Well, you recall a year ago I was on the table saying give them time, give them a new mandate, give them an expanded mandate, because I do believe in GMO's top-down approach and looking at the valuation of asset classes. And I thought perhaps expanding the guidelines here would enhance that. And I think at the time I said give it a year. It's been a year.
It's almost a year.
It's not there.
Yeah, I agree.
Can I ask a question? You know, we decided to do value and growth as we went out into the international market. Maybe the international market is better to stay with growth. Should we have a value? I'm going to go back to a more fundamental question if you choose the next manager. Is it too soon to do value in the international markets? Have they stabilized enough to do value in the international markets, or should we just stay with growth?
No, I go back 20 years and say, you know, international values work just because GMO has not worked out over this time period. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't take that as an indictment of value investing outside the United States. If we look at there's value opportunities in Europe, I think that's pretty clear. There's value opportunities in Japan. Japan's been a value opportunity for the better part of 15, 20 years here.
Right.
It may become a growth opportunity. You never know. Things are changing there, but I have not seen any evidence to suggest that international value approach, sure, non-U.S., is inferior to
let's
growth.
Let's keep the asset approach, asset class approach.
Yeah,
and
we agree.
The manager.
Yeah, to the extent you want to maintain value versus growth as your dynamic, right, there's no reason not to maintain that outside the United States.
Is 7 years a reasonable cycle for international stocks like GMOs, what we're looking at here? What I'm looking at is that they don't have a, there isn't a pattern here that suggests in other parts of the cycle they did well and they're not doing well now. They haven't done well for seven.
Right.
Look at the chart on the bottom of 54 on the right. And it looks like an expensive index fund.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the three segments of their process that put it all together, and it just hasn't delivered.
Well,
we've got the blended benchmark, and
yeah, if you look at the blended benchmark over 10 years, it is 11.6%. If you're just looking at benchmark.
Yeah, I mean, GMO's response, because they always look at valuation metrics, would be that we bought in when value was expensive relative to growth. Understood. However, even relative to a value benchmark, we have not gotten the excess returns there. So,
any other questions about that? Okay. Ready to go on to William Blair? You want to make your decisions at the end of the?
Let's go through all the managers, and then we'll go over to the watch list.
Okay.
And
so you're going to go on to William Blair.
William Blair is doing very well. Your global equity, not doing great. Artisan is new. First Eagle's one you talked about. Different managers' expectations in different kinds of markets, and First Eagle's one that you would expect to lag a bit in an up market because they do have a lower volatility approach, and as does Intech. Intech global low vol got off to a difficult start. It's not really shown because it's less than the 1 year, but more than the quarter, and that's not what we show in here. But come roaring back, it's
just
still
one of those cases where excess returns like this are actually problematic because they're not performing as expected. It's one quarter. We're not going to read too much into it, but I am meeting with the portfolio manager in a week or so here to try and understand what happened. Because a quarter where the market's up 6.5%, we typically expect them to be up in the 4.5 to 5% range if their model was just followed through. A 13.5% return is a deviation from expectations, let's put it that way. So that'll be a follow-up item.
Well, when they got started, they also deviated on the downside somewhat significantly.
Yeah, so this will be something you might hear about sooner rather than later.
Okay, JP Morgan is not yet a candidate for watch, but it hasn't been great so far.
One thing with the global equity portfolio as well that's represented in the 1 and 2 year numbers that isn't shown in the underlying managers is Tradewinds that was with the global equity platform for about a year before it was replaced by Artisan. So the negative performance of Tradewinds affects the composite level global equity performance, and that's just not shown or explained on this page.
Right. When you fire a manager, the manager's performance continues in the asset class composite part, but it, of course, you don't any longer have them in the body of the report.
Bob, are these managers also managing the foreign currency issue? Or
yeah,
no?
they'll take care of that.
I requested from a group that filed a lawsuit against a group of U.S. investment banks who they won the lawsuit last year where they found that these banks were not giving the appropriate pay to their investors on the foreign exchange. They would always give you the lower rate for that day than the higher rate they might have gotten. So I thought maybe you might be interested in
that. We're... the managers are really responsible for monitoring that sort of thing. We don't have a separate currency. You don't have a separate currency thing. The managers provide their own currencies, and they're in charge of keeping track of whether they're getting ripped off on the currency transitions. Barclays, your fixed income extraordinarily good relative performance. And a lot of that is PIMCO, of course. AFL-CIO, this is a mortgage product. This one's fallen back a bit lately. Tough quarter. Again, we don't think it quite rises to the level of putting them on the watch list, but we're going to pay some more attention to this one going forward. Goldman Sachs Core Plus has done very well for you. The workout portfolio, this was a portfolio that was previously run by another firm that was fired and gave the pieces to Goldman Sachs, and they've been, it's worked out very well for you. Lord Abbott has been a star as well. PIMCO, total return. Your bond portfolio is just full of great performers. Now, the Torchlight, you notice the Torchlight 2 is if you look that out, you go back 4 years and you're first percentile. You go back 5 years, you're 99th percentile. This one's different from, the Torchlights are different from your other fixed income in that they are closed-end fund kind of situations. You really have to wait till you get to the end of it to know how you did. And it's really, you need to look at the internal rates of return. So we'll get to the internal rates of return pages. But this Torchlight invests in commercial mortgage paper and had anything that was launched when this one did had a tough time in that market. So it's a little tricky looking. These are all time-weighted rates of return rather than internal rates of return, which means what did you have at the beginning of the period? What did you have at the end? That's the return for the period. Then we'll link that to subsequent periods. An internal rate of return, you're looking at all the cash flows from the beginning to the end. And with an internal rate of return, if you have a manager who has control over when the cash flows are, like a closed-end fund, when they call the money and they pay it out, when they deem it appropriate, internal rates of return is really what you need to look at. If it's you tell them how much you give them money and you take money away at your discretion, then time-weighted is more appropriate. And so for closed-end funds, it's always better to look at the internal rates of return than the time periods, which I think is illustrated by the 1 and the 99 there. This fund has been run consistently, but they didn't go from being the worst fund in the world to the best overnight. It's been run consistently, but the valuations are, you know, affected by the way they call the money.
When will Torchlight 3 kind of start to make its turn and show some?
What? Page 20.
Hang on, never mind. Maybe I've got the answer on page 20.
Yeah, I'd say it.
Got it.
It has turned.
Yep, yeah. Got it.
Yeah, so look at the IRR. Yeah. And Allianz has been doing well. That's your junk bond manager. If you over most of the periods, it's added value. It's a little less. It's a little less junky than some of the junk bond managers. So. It's not.
It's on the edge of junk.
It's kind of the cream of the crap.
Yeah, the cream of crap of junk.
That's about right.
It's recyclable junk.
Right. Lazard's another one that we're going to watch going forward. You've actually had bad luck with global and previous to that international fixed income. It's hard for these managers to seem to add value. And Lazard was doing pretty well for a while, but they had a a tough quarter, and that drags all the numbers back. So that'll be one we're looking at going forward. On the real estate, two of your managers are publicly traded, open-end kind of deals, appropriately time-weighted. The rest of them are internal rates of return kind of deals. And the two that are market, mark-to-market that are liquid are the Adelante and the Invesco International REIT. Those are, REITs are publicly traded. They're very similar to stocks, and except that they have to pay out a huge percentage of their income. And we would comment on, first we'd talk about Adelante and Invesco. And Adelante, they argue that their underperformance in the quarter was because they're invested in core, large, and they property types which underperformed in the quarter. But nonetheless, the performance hasn't been very good over time. If you go back to pages 94-95, you can see that on 94 cumulative, this used to be Lendlease Rosen, and it became Adelante some years back. The and they had a little bit of value added through through the end of 2006, and then gave it up down through the into 2009, and have underperformed since then. It's not been it's not really been a performer for you. So we would definitely recommend you put these guys on watch. And so the Invesco has done better. The another thing about the closed-end funds is you really don't have any choice except if you want to go out and take a huge haircut if you wanted to sell them. So when things go on watch, well, you just sort of watch them. So you like to see things turn around over time, but you can't really do anything. Like, you can easily fire a stock manager, bond manager. You can't easily fire a closed-end fund. As Tim said earlier, you've got a commitment. You're kind of in for the life of the fund.
Bob, are these guys in Oakland? This is
which one? Adelante? Yes.
Yes.
I did an on-site with them, yeah. and we had them on watch.
And then the performance came back a bit.
And then they came back.
And now it's fallen off.
Now
again.
It's fallen again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
how many strikes do you get before you're out?
two or three.
They're up at bat again. Two at bat.
Yeah. 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 Reitz got really hurt during the.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to refresh my memory that was.
Yeah, yeah, they have been there before.
That was the one was on before. Okay.
And the other issue is we left cash with them, right? And there was a time when we left cash with them that wasn't put somewhere else in real estate.
The way that works is you have a percentage allocation to real estate, and you because you have a percentage allocation, and because your closed-end funds pull money when they want it, not when you want to give it to them, you end up with a gap between how much you've targeted and how much you actually have invested. And that gap was filled by putting money into Adelante.
Yeah. So in that sense, rather than just having cash sit there, you still made 5.4%. So whoever you replace, you have to think about if you're going to keep using that manager as a parking space for your uncalled cash for real estate.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just at the May 1st meeting, May 1st, May, well, whatever, last May meeting, kind of went through what the strategic structure of the real estate program is and commented that we don't have core real estate on a commingled fund basis or on a separate account basis. We're not holding office properties that are fully stabilized and harvesting the income stream. We're using REITs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're using the REITs market as a proxy for that. And we fully recognize that over short periods of time, it's a stock. It's going to have stock market volatility. Over long periods of time, they're paying out 90-95% of their income in the form of dividends. That's all rental income. It is core real estate for a long enough time period. So we want to have REITs. I don't think that's the question. We're just evaluating
the manager.
The manager at this point, yeah.
Yeah, there would, if we were to at some point replace Adelante, you'd want to hire them, hire somebody else that could fill that role. And the question that we're starting to think about is, you've got a U.S. piece and an international piece, and do you want a global piece instead? But that's still pretty early discussion. Talking about the real estate managers outside of the REITs, Angela Gordon is new, DLJ 2. You had good experience with DLJ over the years, but some of these are again, these are all things that you need to look at the internal rates of return. And if you go to page 20, we have internal rates of return here. One thing that's not here that we're going to be adding in the future is we're going to be adding real estate benchmarks to the internal rate of return part of this. And we're looking at some preliminary numbers. And two of these managers, four of these funds that are on the watch list are the two Long Wharf and the two Invesco closed-end funds. And looking at some preliminary numbers, we're looking to very possibly remove the later Long Wharf fund, not the earlier one, and the two Invesco funds from watch. They've been doing pretty well, and they look on a preliminary basis like they're doing pretty well against the database of managers out there. So we're not prepared to do that today, but we'll be back for the next time we review this, and we would anticipate that will happen at that point. And that kind of clears the deck for later discussion on what we do with the real estate portfolio. You've been very successful over time with Adams Bay Area Equity Fund. The first one worked well. The second one is still a little bit new. Carpenter is on an IRR basis done pretty well. EIF, the newer funds haven't come through yet, but Nogales is permanently on the watch list until it goes away. Paladin, done okay. It'll be when they actually realize some of those values, the numbers will go up on your internal rate.
They've only realized one so far, right?
Yeah, there's
one.
Well, they've had some valuation things, but they'll be doing better.
Okay.
Going forward. So that's kind of a quick run through the entire lineup of investments. Let's turn to the watch list page on page 3. And we've already kind of touched on some of these. Intech, it's still, there was a personnel change. The head person retired or left, and the chief scientist took over. So far, things seem to be going okay.
You did an on-site with them, right?
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
Was it favorable?
Yes, very much so.
Very, it was. Yeah.
Why don't we just make the motion to take them off then? They've
been
on
for new.
6 months or 7 months. You want to wait? Bob?
Yeah, I'd rather wait a quarter.
That's
I think we'll probably take them off next quarter.
Okay.
GMO and WHV, well, we discussed adding WHV's on for personnel. They have a new head person. They're restructuring their company a bit. We suggested putting them on for performance as well as for personnel, and that would put them on for two reasons. GMO, we would support moving on. So that's pretty much where we are.
You talked about adding Adelante for performance.
Right. Yeah, put Adelante on for performance.
One thing for WHV, if we're adding them for performance, through the end of April, they're an additional 120 basis points behind their benchmark. So one third of the way through the second quarter, they're underperforming.
They're underperforming still.
Yeah. So putting them on watch and then showing up in June to be surprised that they've underperformed.
So do you want individual motions?
Yeah, I would think so.
Let's do individual motions. Jerry, I'll
be happy to take one. Okay. I'd like to move that we...
He's not voting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't make a motion. That's correct. No. Sorry.
I'll move.
I'm sorry.
Let's see. We add Adelante to the watch list. We add performance to the reason for watch for WHV.
Oh, are we going to do individual motions?
You want them individual?
Well, if you're going to eliminate a manager, I would rather have a separate motion than the generic motion.
So can we do
the
adds and changes in one motion?
I just think it's such a big deal to remove a manager. Let's make those by themselves, and then the summary of the watch list, you can make that as a summary motion.
Can we know the consequence of removing them? How quickly will they be able to... invest?
Well, let's talk about which one first if we're thinking about
it. Okay. So I'll make a motion to add performance to the reason for WHV being on the watch list. Okay.
I will second that motion.
All right.
I can speak to the motion, correct, Counselor?
Yes.
All right. I think we're postponing the inevitable on Wentworth. I think we're going to come back in a couple, 3 months. We're going to be down again, and we're going to say, well, now what do? We put them on watch level three. I certainly think we ought to be watching them for performance, but I think we ought to be waving goodbye to them as well.
I want to add to Jerry's comment. If you go to page 21 on Wentworth, you really almost have to get to 10 years where it's a wash. Other than that, they have been behind the S&P 500. You can get an S&P 500 fund for 5-6 basis points.
I'll amend the motion to include, I don't know how we term this, eliminating or dissolving?
Terminating
the manager from our investment portfolio.
Now?
Just a personal comment. I don't know whether Richard has a connection, a strong feeling on this. I don't know whether he would feel that he should have been here for this vote or not. Then he should have been here.
So we can start there and we can vote, and then we can work our way down to.
I would have to withdraw my second because I will withdraw my second on that.
I need a second to amend the motion, right? You're seconding the amendment.
Okay, so the motion before us is just to add Adelante to the watch list and to terminate WHV.
No, it's to terminate WHV.
Terminating WHV.
Oh, we're starting all over.
Termination of WHV. We're starting there.
We're starting there with a simple motion of notifying WHV and terminating.
And what happens when we terminate? Because I heard you say you don't want to get rid of the money that we've got, and we're just getting rid of the manager.
Gets to my question. Excuse me for interrupting, but whether or not there has to be a companion as to
who we take to
reallocate those funds. Is that part of the motion, or should it be part of the motion?
That's what I was asking.
Well, on the same Wentworth.
What we talked about internally and what my recommendation to the board would be to reallocate. We have a lot of large cap equity domestic managers. And part of that's history. We can easily reallocate the existing funds from any one of those managers to the other funds. We don't want to move, we can't move the asset allocation. We've already made a decision that we're going to have X percent in large cap equity.
Right.
My recommendation would be to reallocate to the other large cap core managers.
And that doesn't need another motion.
We'll just make it one motion.
So I'm withdrawing my motion. Okay. New motion.
Okay.
I would like to move that we reallocate the funds that are currently allocated to Wentworth over to other managers within the same
PIMCO and Intech
or equity
to other large cap equity.
Large cap equity.
So we are terminating WHB as a manager and reallocating the funds to existing large cap core managers.
Okay. Got it.
Got it.
That's the motion. Now we need a new second.
Second.
Okay. I just like to make a comment on the motion. I've seen this group, WHV, go up and down all the time that I've been here. And they've come close to being terminated in the past. But usually when we terminate, we do go out and make a site visit and discuss with the people. And I feel that we actually did this with this group. They had lower performance last year. I know I went with the team that went in January, early February, to go see them in San Francisco. They did talk about their restructure. But basically, their large cap core, what we're investing in, is basically the same. What they're adding to their company doesn't involve our commitment. So I and considering the flash report, most recent returns after our visit, they've been a manager with us a long time. I'm sad to see it go this way, but I think this is the wise thing to do. I do. So I'm going to support the motion.
I'm going to speak against the motion. In 2007 and 8, when the market was down, WHV was the equity that helped us through that rough time. And I feel that, we've had them on the watch, but it was, it was because of, personnel changes. Now we're also realizing that their performance was not up to par and hasn't been for a while. But I have a real hard time going to them and saying, you've been terminated, when we haven't addressed the performance issue with them, and would want to address that performance issue and see if they can't make some drastic changes, because they recognize they'd have to make some drastic change between now and the next quarter. But I would be for giving that opportunity to them. So I am not in favor of the motion for those reasons. It's also been probably the longest termed relationship we've had with an equity. And I think that speaks to something of loyalty to a company or to a firm. There be it my reasons.
I got one other comment.
Any other comments?
If we look at page 21, after fees, you go back, it's only at the 5-year cumulative level that you actually get a performance that's 0.1% greater than the S&P 500. Go back 7 years, that takes you back to 2006. You're still half a point under the performance of the S&P after fees.
And you could go back 10 years and you're 1/10 of a point above S&P.
But that doesn't include the fees.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's true.
And one thing to note, too, in the 07 and 08 periods that you mentioned, they did protect a little bit on the downside in 08, but not to a dramatic extent. It was better performance by about 230 basis points, which is happy to have it, but it wasn't anything that significantly outperformed the benchmark during that down period.
Okay.
One thought, if the board wanted to entertain this, you could ask them out for a special presentation at the June 12th board meeting if you thought there was something you might learn that might change your mind. If not,
Tim, Bob, what is it they could do if we said, your performance for 10 years has been unsatisfactory in terms of paying for active management.
They're going to continue to execute their process, and hopefully it's being rewarded over that short time period. There's not a lot they can do in a short time period.
That's really where I'm getting. I mean, are they going to pick different stocks for us than they would for anybody else?
Well, I heard Maria say after the site visit that...
Well, our new returns in 3 months didn't change that. But, I mean, I go more with the last time we came close to ending them when Clifton was here, Clifton Winnington was chair. And we really, I mean, people really didn't want to end this relationship because it was a manager who grew up with the retirement board. And we felt really strongly about that. And I think we all hung in there, and we have, you know. But I can appreciate, you know, for one, if you look at it in 10 years and you look at that 1% earning, you just say, wow, you know, I might have been able to put it in a passive fund. You know what I mean? For large cap core.
I just want
to save myself
up
some of those fees.
On John's question, what are they going to do differently? Nothing. What might you learn from them? The investment thesis behind the current portfolio. If they're at it, what they can convey to you as a temporary lull, would that change your mind? That they're poised for, that they position for a particular outcome and they're waiting for it to come to fruition. That's a thing you might learn. If that doesn't change your mind.
Well, and then you go to 10 years. That's a full cycle. And it, you know, they haven't done it in 10 years. What is it that would cause them to be different years 11 and 12?
Different people. Well, different people running the portfolio.
In other words, the old people we shouldn't have had, but the new ones.
You know, as unsatisfactory as that answer might be, sometimes that is the case.
Yeah, but the
you evaluate the team you have today going forward.
Yeah, but the large cap core manager, I believe, is the same one. The new people they're adding is for the other products.
No.
Well, but if you look back over 10 years, the lead portfolio manager today is different. Reiner Trilch was hired a couple years ago as the chief investment officer. It is a different... It's almost an entirely different group of people today than it was over that 10-year history.
Yes. That was 2 years ago?
Reiner came in...
3 years ago, I think.
3 years ago? Yeah. Three.
So it doesn't appear anything's changed.
And that's why they're on watch.
Well, they're on watch for our new CEO.
Every time this is what we go through. It's agonizing.
I'm not trying to paint a rosy scenario here. I'm saying, what would you look
call
at
a question.
To go forward?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's been a call for the question. To end debate, we have to vote on it. If you want to end debate... Support the call for a question. If you want to keep debating, vote no. Okay. All for calling the question in any debate? Aye.
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 Abstention? Objections? Okay. Voting on the motion now. All in favor of termination of WHB. HB and moving our large core cap to other managers, having that information brought back to the board. I think it's an assumption that you made. Yeah. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any abstentions? Any objections?
Aye.
That question doesn't require. I think there was enough to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yes. To roll
maybe you might
five.
Want to.
No, for the
because
recording.
Of the recording.
Oh. For the recording, okay. Oh, you want to do a roll call vote? All right.
Sure. Deborah Allen?
Aye. On the question, it was
the what?
Aye.
Jerry Tellis?
No.
Maria Viramontes?
Aye.
John Phillips?
I'm sorry.
We're doing a roll call on the vote.
Yes.
Karen Mitchell?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Boy, that was gut-wrenching. Okay, on to the next issue. Are there any other persons to put on watch? Any other recommendations?
So we're going to take the rest of the recommendations, adding Adelante for performance. So in other words, the watch list, taking WHB away and putting Adelante on.
We need a motion to add Adelante to
the watch list.
I'll move that. Okay, there is a motion on the floor to add Adelante to the watch list.
Second.
Well, can we make it all one motion, or you want to make
yes,
it two?
Yes, absolutely.
I move to add Adelante for performance to the watch list and then to approve the watch list as recommended with the deletion of WHB.
We've already moved WHV. So you
okay, that's
add
fine.
That.
This is the recommendation, so I want to. So if all you want is
the existing watch
but
list,
we have
right
GMO
there.
Too.
Yes, oh, you don't have to approve the watch
GMO.
List.
No,
I'm so sorry.
That's existing.
Then I just move adding Adelante to the watch list for performance.
For performance. Okay.
I'll second that.
So it's been moved and seconded to add Adelante and to approve all the other items on the watch list.
No.
No, just Adelante. All right, it's been seconded, excuse me, moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
What are we voting for on?
Adding Adelante to the watch list on page three.
Performance.
Thank you.
Do you want this recorded?
Reconsider.
Moving fast.
Learning curve.
Vote is unanimous on that. Motion passes.
Vote is unanimous on adding Adelante.
You want to do a roll call vote?
It's unanimous.
No, it's just adding. I do have a question before the board on GMO, since we had some significant conversation. Do you want to invite them to come and meet with the whole board to discuss it, or are you ready to do something else about GMO other than just adding it, keeping them on the watch list? Yes.
I don't think we should keep GMO on the watch list. I think we've had it with them, we've run the gamut, and it's time to cut our losses and go.
Okay.
I mean, our...
Is that a motion?
I make the motion, we...
Second.
Cut GMO.
This one is a little different. I think you need to talk to Tim about what we're going to do with the funds.
We have to do a new RFP.
And make it a part of the motion.
Yeah, because it can't just be...
We have had preliminary conversations with State Street, our custodian. We've used their global markets group in the past to kind of babysit some of these portfolios for a period of up to 6 months. They do that at no cost to us. We've been successful with that. We've actually had positive performance out of that. You probably want to make that part of the recommendation to terminate, have State Street manage the assets on an interim basis while Milliman conducts a search for a replacement manager.
Okay.
Okay, so move.
Is that accepted?
I accept that.
Oh, okay. So he made a motion. Has it been seconded?
Yes.
Okay, it has 2 seconds. All in favor, say aye. Should we do a roll call vote since it's a termination?
Unless it's unanimous.
Can we just do some quick discussion first?
Yes, okay.
So my question is that we recently did the search when I can't remember when it was, but it wasn't too long ago that we put William Blair in place in that group. Is some of the people who presented it to us for William Blair, is that a different type of strategy?
That's a different strategy.
Okay, so we got to start over.
It's growth, and this is value manager.
Okay.
But, maybe William Blair has a value product. We who knows?
That would probably be a negative for William Blair.
Right, sure.
The fact that they're already running the growth.
Too much Blair.
So we need another value manager.
Got it. You want to do roll call on this?
Okay, I think it'd be better to do that, yeah. We'll do a roll call on the termination just to make sure it's clear for everybody.
Okay, so the motion is to terminate the services of GMO, move the assets to State Street Fund temporarily, and start the search for the replacement. Deborah Allen?
Yes.
Russell Watts?
Yes.
Jerry Tellis?
Yes.
Maria Viramontes?
Yes.
John Phillips?
Yes.
Karen Mitchell?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, well, we've done a lot of serious work today. Any other final comments?
Bob had some other suggestions.
Any questions?
Yeah, other questions and suggestions?
Bob had some suggestions on removals from the watch list.
No, I said
next quarter. He said he wanted to do it next quarter on Vesco and them. Yeah, just give him one more time to make sure. Okay, I know you passed out your memo on what's going to happen with the real estate group. I mean, our investments going forward, our strategy. And you have a new memo out today. Is there anything else you want to make comments on, Tim, before we...
No, Bobby, would you like to make a comment on the private equity memo?
Yeah, we decided to screen after the RFPs came in rather than before, since this is kind of a different deal.
Right.
And so there's too many names on there, but we'll have a lot of work to do.
Okay, so these were the responses for the real assets.
Those are the people that we've asked for.
Oh, asked for private equity.
For not real assets, small mid-cap.
I'm sorry, private equity.
Small mid-cap private.
Okay.
So those are on the do not talk list.
Okay, thank you.
Whoa.
Okay, so we will make sure all the board members who aren't here and at the conference get this at least by email, right? Because they're probably...
Can you cut this
where
down?
They are.
We tried. We
this
threw.
This is the people I talked to are on this list.
There goes dinner for 2 months.
Dinner is just talking. I can talk to these people.
Yes, yes.
Well, you're going to see a couple of existing matches on there. You can talk about the existing product, just not about the prospective product.
Well, private equity, sometimes these folks go to real estate and to infrastructure and they do interesting things in different places, so.
Deborah, what was your question?
She wanted to know where we might meet these folks.
No, like, which conferences are coming up in the next 2 to 3 months, or 2 months,
yeah.
I guess,
yeah.
that we would see any of these people, that any of us are going
to? SACRS doesn't have any. CalPERS doesn't have any. None that I know of right now.
Okay. GFOA wouldn't have them.
GFOA may. I don't think we have anybody attending, though. Do you?
Yeah. I'm going, but not through this office.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They may, but I doubt it.
Well, J.P. Morgan does things at different stuff, so they're a little more markety. You know, you kind of bump into them in different places. Of all the people on this list, it's the only one I would see that would be that active at social events and things like that. Okay, all right. So we have our no-talk list, and that's it. Tim, no final comments? That's it. All right, closing our total performance on item 6 and moving on to item 7.